You're tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
This is your community-supported radio station, KBOO Portland. Before we get going with our programming, I want to remind everyone that you can donate today at kbu.fm/give. We aren't in the station to take your calls, but you can show your support by giving online. Again, that's kbu.fm/give. Or you can also mail a contribution to the station at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. Thank you.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a program director to manage our programming department. This full-time position requires proven experience in program directing, radio audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers, with an emphasis on teamwork and a collaborative setting, and the ability to work under strict deadlines. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. The deadline to apply for this position is Saturday, October 3rd. More information can be found at kboo.fm/employment.
Headlines. With fewer than 40 days left before the election, President Donald Trump unveiled what he calls a second policy plan in as many days as he tries to chip away his Democratic rival support among Black and Hispanic voters and in key battleground states. At a Black Voices for Trump event in Atlanta today, Trump's campaign said that in a second term, he would push for economic development and loan money for African Americans and designate Juneteenth as a federal holiday. Trump unveiled what aides termed a vision for health care in North Carolina yesterday. The late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg lay in state at the U.S. Capitol today, the first woman in American history so honored at the domed building. Presidential nominee Joe Biden arrived at the Capitol and running mate Kamala Harris also attended. Harris said Ginsburg absolutely cleared a path for women like herself in public life. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi welcomed Ginsburg's casket and invited guests to a brief ceremony marked by profound sorrow. The justice died last week at the age of 87. Republicans are expecting President Trump to announce Saturday he's nominating Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court as a replacement for Ginsburg. Even before Trump unveils the pick, conservative groups and congressional allies are laying the groundwork for a swift confirmation process for Barrett. They're organizing multi-million dollar ad campaigns and marshaling supporters both to confirm the pick and to boost Trump to a second term. Breonna Taylor's family demanded today that Kentucky authorities release all body camera footage, police files, and the transcripts of the grand jury hearings that led to no charges against police officers who killed the Black woman during a drug raid at her apartment. Taylor's lawyers said they had seen the evidence and said there is much State Attorney General Daniel Cameron got wrong when he presented the case to the grand jury. They did not give specifics. Meanwhile, a Kentucky lawmaker who spent last night in jail after her arrest during protests in Louisville demanding justice for Breonna Taylor says she'll redouble her push for criminal justice reforms. State Representative Atticus Scott was arrested and charged with first-degree rioting, a felony, and two misdemeanor counts, unlawful assembly and failure to disperse. The Black lawmaker today called those charges ludicrous and said those arrested were traumatized by Louisville police. Oregon Governor Kate Brown is sending in state troopers and sheriff's deputies to Portland for the weekend to help local police in the state's largest city monitoring competing protests tomorrow. The right-wing group Proud Boys is holding a demonstration. Counter-protests by liberal groups are expected. Brown said she is giving leadership of policing in the city over the weekend to the commanders of the state police and the local sheriff's office. California's largest wildfire is threatening a marijuana-growing enclave, and authorities say many of the local residents have refused to evacuate or to and to give up their resistance to abandon their maturing crops. That comes as forecasters predict a new round of hot, dry, and windy conditions that could fan flames this weekend. The wildfire called the August Complex is nearing the communities of Post Mountain and Trinity Pines, about 200 miles northwest of Sacramento. The Los Angeles Times reports police went door-to-door warning of the fire danger, but could not force residents to evacuate. The Times says as many as 1,000 people remain in the two communities. Meanwhile, there's a National Weather Service red flag fire warning for hilly regions of the Bay Area. The warning begins at 9 p.m. tomorrow and lasts until 8 a.m. on Monday morning. The highest threat is for the hills of Northeast Sonoma County, Napa County, the East Bay Hills, and Mount Diablo. The Weather Service warns that any fires that develop will spread rapidly in the hot, dry, and windy weather. Details on these and other stories coming up on the evening news at 6. Stay tuned now for Hard Knock Radio.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm attorney Ben Crump, along with attorney Lanita Baker, attorney Sam Aguiar, my law partner, attorney Chris O'Neill. We have the honor of representing and fighting for respect, dignity, and justice for Breonna Taylor and her family. Breonna Taylor's entire family is heartbroken, devastated, and outraged, and confused, and bewildered, just like all of us, as to what did Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron present to the grand jury. Did he present any evidence on Breonna Taylor's behalf? Or did he make a unilateral decision to put his thumb on the scales of justice to help try to exonerate and justify the killing of Breonna Taylor by these police officers, and in doing so, make sure that Breonna Taylor's family never got their day in court, never got their chance for due process, and in essence, denied them justice? That's why we are standing here today, united in solidarity, declaring and demanding he release the transcripts of the grand jury proceeding so we can know if there was anybody giving a voice to Breonna Taylor. Because with these results from this grand jury, Tamika Mallory, wanton endangerment for the white neighbor's apartment that lived next to her, but no wanton endangerment for the bullet tray that went into the apartment of the black neighbors above her apartment, and no wanton endangerment for the bullets that went actually into Breonna Taylor's apartment. And Lanita, no wanton murder charges for the bullets that mutilated Breonna Taylor's body. Mr. Blake, it underscores what we have been saying all along. There seems to be two justice systems in America. One for black America and one for white America. And this has been emphasized by this grand jury proceeding into the killing of Breonna Taylor. You know, Sam Aguiar, it's kind of ironic when you think about the message that is being sent from this grand jury ruling. It's like they charged the police for missing shooting bullets into black bodies, but not charging the police for shooting bullets into black bodies. Where that happened at?
In Kentucky, in Louisville.
Thank you. Oh, well, I'm standing here today. I'm going to represent my niece in her EMT jacket. I chose this just to have her be a part of us today. Also, I just want to shout out to our family. It's been a long 6 months, and it's been a wild roller coaster. Not only have we been out here fighting for justice for Breonna, but we are continuing to lose our family members to cancer, to COVID, to being murdered. And so my message is to you is just cry your tears, lift your head up, and keep stepping.
I hear you, Bianca.
And most of you know this has been emotionally, mentally, and physically draining for my sister. So I'm going to do the honor and read her thoughts after Daniel Cameron's decision. And I quote, "I never had faith in Daniel Cameron to begin with.
Amen.
I knew he was too inexperienced to deal with a job of this caliber. I knew he had already chosen to be on the wrong side of the law. The moment he wanted to the grand jury to make the decision, what I had hoped is that he knew he had the power to do the right thing. That he had the power to start the healing of this city. That he had the power to help men over 400 years of oppression. What he helped me realize is that it will always be us against them. That we are never safe when it comes to them. Mattingly, in an email, called us animals and thugs. It's clear that that is the way that they will always see us. I was reassured Wednesday of why I have no faith in the legal system, in the police, in the law that are not made to protect us black and brown people. But when I speak on it, I'm considered an angry black woman. But know this, I am an angry black woman. I am not angry for the reasons that you would like me to be.
That's right.
But angry because our black women keep dying at the hands of police officers.
Black men.
And black men. Okay. Angry because our children are dying at the hands of police officers. And I'm angry because this nation is learning that our black women dying at the hands of police officers, and this is not okay. You can take the dog out of the fight, but you can't take the fight out of the dog.
Say it again.
For lack of better terms, bark, bark for being the dog still standing to fight. I knew Cameron would never do his job, but what I do know is that him and countless others will go to bed sleeping with Breonna's face, still hearing her say her name.
That's right.
Cameron alone didn't fail her, but it ended with a lack of investigation failed her. The officer who told a lie to obtain a search warrant failed her. The judge who signed the search warrant failed her. The terrorist who broke down her door failed her. The system as a whole has failed her.
One, two, three, it's that mad sucker free gorilla with the get back. Seems you forgot who you with. Pistol rip pump in my lap for this. Manish and brandish your mind. Been damaging these off-brands lives since 89. Hard truth to your speaker from the booth. From the Bay to Southern Cali, Central Valley. Steady slumping, lumping. I'm on the mic. P-Dog laying in the cut to strike. Apply pressure with aggression, no stressing. But at the same time, contemplating how I could bubble and push my same line. With murderous intent, convince the proletariat to listen. Envision the uprise and the wise eyes open wide. Ride or die, hit a battle cry, united for the fight, get him.
The money move, not a kind gander.
Real spit, we the raise this, keep saying it loud.
The money move, not a kind gander.
The truth never lose.
I wanted to kick things off with a song called Nobody Moves. It was released on 9/11, and it comes courtesy of somebody who is no stranger to political activism, freedom fighting, recording, entrepreneurialism. and somebody who's going to kick up dust when we really need to have it kicked up. We're talking about Paris, Black Panther of hip hop. He is with us this afternoon, and as is needed in these turbulent times, he drops a brand new album. And we've been talking all week about the importance of culture and how it can and should be used as a tool of liberation. And man, it's good to have you, man. It's good to see that you're back. We're celebrating the release of a new album. And I wanted to play Nobody Moves because the video, man, you went all the way there. Can you talk a little bit about this video? That. Talk a little bit about
Well, first of all, Dave, man, right on for having me, you know, and we go back a long, long, long time, and I'm just glad to see you still here and you're doing well, and, you know, that matter remain, and so I appreciate you. Nobody Move is, you know, it's a video that kind of checks all the boxes for 2020. You know, especially in this environment where we have all of this social unrest, we have, you know, police brutality and racism that's running rampant and unchecked, and you know, economic inequality and you know, tribalism that exists, and just all of this negativity that's there. But you know, for whatever reason, we know what the reason is with hip hop as it's presented commercially. We don't get it, and we don't get it in our entertainment as a rule of thumb. Entertainment, it seems to me now, is news. You know, the news is entertainment, and you know, suffering and more often than not, Black death and minority misery is, you know, what leads the news cycle far too often. So, you know, being able to provide some balance, being able to speak on the issues and be critical about what I see going on is definitely a blessing.
Let me go back to what you said, Paris, when you said it was entertainment. There's a saying, I heard somebody mention this before. It might have been Chuck D or somebody else.
Right.
Literally, Black death is a form of entertainment.
And it is a form of entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be the lynchings. Now it seems to mm-hmm. be police and the outrage that ensues. Can you dig into that a little bit deeper?
It was it's a form of entertainment, and sadly, that form of entertainment is allowing it to become normalized. It's becoming kind of par for the course and understood that, you know, Black people dying, and, you know, people of color in general dying, but specifically Black people dying is acceptable in many circles, and has, you know, just kind of become a part of the landscape. And, you know, I wholeheartedly reject that. And, you know, people that are into what I do wholeheartedly reject that. And anybody that is able to think for themselves knows that this isn't normal, that the COVID response is not normal. Knows that, you know, all of these racially tinged things that we hear on a day-to-day, which are escalating in frequency, are not supposed to be normal. And so, yeah, absolutely, I got to speak out about it.
You know, it's interesting, as you were talking about this, I'm remembering, I'm going to go way, way back. And you decided to do an album called Sleeping with the Enemy. And well, I'll never forget it. It was August 5th at a summer jam in Mountain View that you hit the stage. It had to be August 4th or 5th, one of them days. And nobody had heard it, the song. 22,000 people reacted when they heard a George Clinton beat. But leading up to it was the you doing a mock execution of then George Bush. The first George Bush. And then it came in, it was the song Bush Killer, and people went crazy. I mean, they were like, you know, hands in the air, like, man, what is this? It had all the funk elements and it just went nuts. And I remember you said, you know, this is gonna be the record that we put out so it can impact the election. And all hell broke loose. And, you know, of course, the album gets released after the election because no stone was left unturned to make sure that didn't happen. And I bring this up because over your period, you know, your tenure, when you've done records that have spoke out about injustice and if and when you have targeted domestic terrorists, in this case, the police, the Hate That Hate produced and all that other stuff. Oh, folks, you know, are very clear, like you have crossed the line. Secret Service, police, surveillance, the whole nine have come to your door to talk to you about this material. Yet, if you had did an album that was talking about selling keys or you were killing other people, oh, there'd be no problem. Right. I mean, it would be, you know, that might even promote it extra.
They do promote it.
Yeah.
I mean, you see that. You see that on daily. And to be somebody who is a hip-hop luminary, I know you've seen it all. And you see the trajectory of hip-hop as it has become more co-opted and more corporatized to be able to, you know, sell us things as opposed to really truly representing the culture. We already see what's added with it, right? So the beauty of my situation is that my situation is set up to be completely independent of outside influence and completely self-funded. Mm-hmm. And so I can kind of move and shake as I deem fit. And, you know, I have an ebb and a flow to my career, obviously. Like I only resurface when it's things that I feel like I really want to get off my chest.
Right.
I don't live hip hop. I love hip hop, but I don't live it. I mean, you know, my day to day is spent doing other things, other business interests. Right. So when I come back into the fold, you know, I definitely want to be sure I'm not wasting time with it, and I want to be sure that it is presented in a way that is on par with the presentation that a lot of mainstream artists get.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm thankful to have a solid team with me. My animator, Unjust, is just raw. And, you know, he's next level skills. And, you know, as is evidenced by damn near a million views in a week and a half. You know, so I'm thankful for that. And, you know, just, you know, I know what need be done. And I don't really waste time with it. So
a couple of things. I want to go back to the song Nobody Moves and talk about who it pays tribute to. But before we get into that, I want to kind of give some extra context to it. So last week, there were about four or five trap songs. You know, that's the current type of sound that we have that were released.
Right.
They were all produced, well-produced videos, banging. You know, the beat hits. And they were all released in Florida and these battleground states. And, you know, many of them have these white guys with tattoos, rifles, guns, talking about I'm a patriot, and they're all for Trump. And it was designed to hit into all these areas. There was a recognition that hip-hop is a big language. And, you know, they pulled no punches. And like you said, you got, you know, you had a million people and a million streams and you know, with this song as it was released about a week ago, they too had a couple of million hits and streams, you know, within days after this was released. And so, no, it's not showing up on the evening news, but it definitely has been making its rounds. And, you know, people are like, they didn't do this. And it's like, look at this. These guys have guns. Right, the same guns that you were doing your videos and paying homage to the Panthers, they censored. Right, MTV took off, but now they have the guns and the tats and is white dudes with all this alt right, far right, racist stuff. As the language, how do we get to this point?
Well, this tribalism, yeah, it's real. You know, I know this. I know, you know, in the past when I've set up. Because you realize that since my first record, you know, my first record was The Devil Made Me Do It. It was on Tommy Boy, which was a subsidiary of Warner Music at the time. After that, I've been completely independent across the board, except for a brief tenure with Priority, I've been completely independent, and I've always, you know, had independent releases and kind of had to navigate the new technological landscape as, you know, certain formats came and went, right? So, but the kind of the constant pressure that is always put on an indie label is how to make a budget stretch, right? So like, okay, well, how much can I get? Say I got $30,000 or $50,000 earmarked for a release. How can I stretch this across all the platforms to be able to be sure I take all the advertising out and do all these other things, right? And this situation now is the first time in my career where I can actually really bully my way back into the marketplace with advertising, and they don't want the money. And I say they don't want the money because there's all these election tampering restrictions at Facebook and Instagram and through Google Ads with YouTube that will straight up tell you you got to be registered, almost like your political action committee. You got to be registered to be able to have political content. And it's only specific, mind you, to political content, right? So you have to go through all of this registration to prove that you know, your business entity is real, and that, you know, I had to submit paperwork and be sure that, you know, to be sure that I'm here and I'm a citizen of the United States and all this stuff, to be able to even run ads to promote
your album,
a record, right. I'm not supporting a candidate. I'm, you know, and so, yeah, there are definite roadblocks in place, and the gatekeepers that we've always railed against are able to truly flex muscle, even in the face of, you know, a healthy budget, right?
Now, these
stranger times we're living in.
Right. Now, so those...
And to take it further. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you know, now those right-wing artists that have put out, I'm not going to give all their names and everything.
Rappers?
The ones that are doing the alt-right, you know, the neo-Nazi rap, right, that I was talking about, right?
Those, you know, it's a trip like... people, I think, find their... Not to cut you off, brother, I apologize for that. But people go toward the lane that they think they can get traction in a lot of times, right? And I can't co-sign anybody that's doing anything racist because for obvious reasons, but I think that's the motivation, you know? With Alex Jones.
Right.
That was the motivation with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When I used to talk to him, he was trying to get his stuff released on Gorilla Funk.
Really?
And we had DVD artwork and all kind of stuff drawn up. Yeah, because he wanted InfoWars to come through Gorilla Funk right after 9/11, before he took this, like, alt-right weirdo turn.
Wow.
He was absolutely trying to get his stuff. Yeah. Yeah, because, he was a big proponent of my Sonic Jihad album. And he had put it out and he was trying to do his thing. And I went on his show and it was cool and it was respectful. I didn't really know his background, you know. But, you've seen... like him gravitate toward this, you know, they call it truth telling and patriotism, but really it's thinly veiled racism. And, you know, he went through a divorce and even his wife said that was a big fraud and that he's not that kind of dude. It's just like, you know, people do what they think is going to get traction. It's almost like racial clout chasing. That's a perfect term for it. You know what I'm saying? Because they might not even believe it, but they do it.
Okay.
Look at Fox News anchors. I got a feeling that they know better. But
right.
They pander to their audience. You know, you can't be a Fox News anchor really and be in a position like Hannity or Tucker Carlson and not know all sides of an issue. And if you are a thinking person, you know, you have to be able, anybody that can think independently has to be able to draw the conclusion that what we talk about more often than not is the correct way to address a particular thing. You know, the more you know, the more left you lean. You know, you care about the planet, you care about people's rights, you care about, you know, people and issues. And so, yeah, of course, you're going to lean left, right? And so that reflexive, like, jarhead kind of like, all cops and all soldiers are heroes mentality, you know, that is an archaic way of thinking. And, you know, they're definitely trying to influence younger people to hold on to that way of life that they've enjoyed, you know, for years. But, you know, people ain't having it no more.
No, definitely. If you're just tuning in, we're talking with Paris, talking about the release of his new album, Space Invaders. That's right. We were talking about Nobody Moves, and one of the things that, if you see the video, it pays tribute to Henry Douglas. You know, man, it's an incredible piece of work. All the art. It's all Emery's art, and it was animated, or
it's so Unjust. That's my animator. He, you know, we came up with the idea that we wanted to pay homage to Henry Douglas, and Emery has, you know, a huge wealth of work, right? His catalog is pretty extensive because he was the minister of propaganda for, you know, the Black Panther Party. So he was the one responsible for doing all the artwork and for, you know, putting that face on that organization that was intended to appeal to people and want them to be politically active, right? And there are obvious parallels between the 60s and now. Obvious parallels between the 60s and now. And it was only fitting to include that. So it is, I want to say, 90% his imagery. And then, you know, we fill in the blanks with you know, the current things that need to be addressed, police brutality and, you know, Trump. And,
but you were able to animate a lot
the
of
the MAGA stuff and everything. Yeah, right. We put all that in there just to
fill
in the blanks.
You were able to animate a lot of that, though, right? I mean, that's what made it made it pop. So
that's what made it pop. Exactly. So, you know, they were all standard 2D imagery, which was just made the move, you know, and made the slap with the beat. And, you know, and of course, you know, you mentioned trap earlier. I don't really follow trends. I never have. And I've heard people be critical of me saying, oh, he's been making the same record for 30 years. But yeah, I have. I know my lane and I stay in it. Hell, people feel me on it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like traditional music. I don't chase trends. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to put a record on that I've made in a few years and wince. You know what I'm saying? Because I know what I, and the other thing too is music for me is catharsis. You know, it's like, it is very therapeutic and it allows me to vent. And I really, between me and you, bro, I'm making records for me now. I'm not really making records for anybody else. So I really make what I love listening to and what I want to say and hear. And then if people are down to come along with, you know, for the ride with me, then by all means, please do. But, you know, I'm not making records to pander or to appeal to anybody. And, you know, God knows if that was the case, I would not be in this lane. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just thankful that I got a voice.
Let's take a listen to another one. Turn the Key, featuring T Cash. Yes. You know,
that's right.
T Cash, you know, here at the station was the host for a long time of the Friday Night Vibe.
Right.
Let's talk about this song because, you know, you went there as well, talking about the current situation that exists right here in the Bay.
Man, yeah, I mean, how can you not? I mean, everybody's being affected by it, especially the income inequality. First of all, Tourniquet is about gentrification. But for those, you know, the uninitiated, we're about to get into it in a minute. But the income inequality, which is the underlying theme behind that song, is only being amplified in 2020 in this era of COVID. And we're seeing the scab ripped off for a lot of people of just how precarious their individual situations are. Hmm. You know, you have entire communities of people, especially people of color, we're dying at a rate that is disproportionate to the general population. And, you know, we're always, even without COVID, we're the last hired and the first fired. And we oftentimes don't have the ability to work from home. We don't have the luxury of not, you know, we have service jobs. We don't have the luxury of you know, a lot of the things that tech workers have and you know, people who are of means. And so, yeah, that song, Turn the Key, really just kind of details it all and summarizes it in a way that, you know, again is couched in a slick package and good music.
We're going to take a listen to it. We'll come right back.
tensions have been simmering over gentrification. Though moderate housing has been built, thousands have been displaced. While new class of urban professionals took up residence in luxury apartment houses, spawning changes that catered to them.
I try to represent the struggle, but the struggle as of late is being co-opted to bubble. Check the hustle, poverty-stricken huddles, poverty-stricken of us just displaced and rustled up. When old folks rush to the valley, moving us out of coastal Cali, moving at the gap between the haves and the have-nots, got the working classes steady out when it come to housing. Gentrified is what we call it. Reverse white flight, steady spoiling. Got these wealthy techies loving when we selling weed for their dogs. But little black kids selling water, get the cops called. Liquor stores and weed when it's us. When it's them, it's microbreweries and cannabis. Same neighborhood, different people, but the quality of life is through the roof for certain reasons that they tap dance and answers to.
Freedom and equality, right here where the gangsters rise. And if you can't follow me, all you gotta do is look outside. Where did we go? Where are we at? How did we get here? Can we go back? Thinking about how they burned me, I should have never turned the key.
It ain't no black people left in Oakland.
We're back here, Davey D, Hard Knock Radio. Name of the song, Turn the Key, featuring T Cash and the one and only Paris, who's with us this afternoon, looking at the release of his independent project, Safe Space Invader, talking about the role of culture, its impact, its influence, and why it's needed at this point. And one of the things I want to go back to what you were talking about were the regulations that you had to go through even to push this album because of its political content. We just had Scott Goodstein on, who headed up Punk Voter. And really did a magnificent job flipping a lot of folks with using culture, you know, putting out albums. And now what he's been doing in the battleground states is going to artists like the ones that you used to do the animation for, you know, MP's art, you know, and saying, look, let's put these posters up. And what we're going to do is we're going to make people remember what they did. So they had like a big poster that they, you know, big billboard that they did, you know, reminding people of the Charlottesville situation. And they've been doing all these things that are, you know, and they're not advocating for any sort of candidate, but they are reminding people of the devastation and things that they went through. And what he said last week when we had him on, he said all these big billboard companies are owned by these conglomerates, you know, the Clear Channels of the world and what have you. And it was like they were having very difficult times putting it up. They were like, oh, you're doing this sort of art, you can't do it. But then right down the street will be all the alt-right stuff, you know, the Hannity things and all that. And so, he said himself that they're very much aware of the power of culture. Now, his thing was that since we're going deeper into the community, that will be, you know, our saving grace. And so they're finding the walls and places that they can control to put these things up. But it just, when you told me you was running into these obstacles and they were demanding all this and, you know, and just because your album is a political one, it's not sitting there telling you who to vote for, what have you, that is what we're up against in 2020.
It is.
I want to come back.
You know, it can be navigated, though. And, you know, I've been successful in navigating it. I mean, the word is out. I'm getting a pretty phenomenal response from it, especially to not have been in the game for, what, six, five years, you know. Rap years are dog years. You know what I'm saying? Every time I come out, it's like I'm starting over. But, you know, it's cool. You know, I was able to, you know, the one thing about, you know, I've always been a proponent of being prepared and, you know, having my ducks in a row in the event I have some obstacles I need to overcome. And so, you know, the paperwork was provided and I did what I had to do. I probably am a PAC in their eyes now. And, you know, hey.
Now, in the past, must,
but everything is running.
In the past, when you done albums, you had long pieces to accompany it. You've had information that went in depth about the Nation of Islam, the history of the Black Panthers. You know, like it wasn't just albums, but it was all that. When 9/11 came out and you did Sonic Jihad, you had a lot of information. In fact, it wasn't even just on the album. You put out a whole paper, you know, like I think I still have like a 30 page, you know, it was like information that you broke a lot of things down. And we saw that you were taking those to the next level in terms of, you know, doing newscasts, not just the music. With the space, Safe Space Invader, do you have anything to accompany at this time, or you just let it?
Not, you know, I let the music speak for itself. You know, I know that there are outlets that exist that provide more in-depth information than I'm going to provide, you know, and on an ongoing basis. And, you know, I can refer to that, you know, when that information, when talking about issues that need to have, you know, kind of backup info provided. But really, the music speaks for itself. And, you know, I think the other thing is, I think people are kind of tired of being talked at. Mm. You know, they're tired of their news. Is our news cycle now used to be 24 hours. Now it's probably 4 hours.
Right.
You know, like everything is what's the newest thing? What can we hit you with ASAP and, you know, make you forget? You know, there's all kind of diversionary tactics going on. There's always something in play to take the focus away from things that we really need to be concerned about, you know, and cultural war issues are what we're in the middle of right now. And people vote against their interests, you know, and the tribalism is so severe that, you know, people cling to things that are bad for them just to prevent the other side from getting a win. That's the environment we live in now. And so, you know, this is music that's therapeutic for me. And I know that I have a very brutal outlook on things that I see. And I know that there are a lot of people that feel that way, too. And I know that, for example, when Obama was elected, we elected him because we wanted revenge against the Bush administration. You know, people were projecting everything they wanted to project on Obama. We thought he was going to be Huey. Or Malcolm, or something, you know, and he wasn't. And a large portion of his presidency was spent reaching across the aisle to people who had no interest in being down and who had no interest in being good with us. And, you know, a huge swath of his tenure was wasted. And that's just the reality. You know, conditions still exist the way that they were existing for us. And I know people will argue the point, but the proof is in the pudding. And now here we are with this president who is openly embracing racist tropes and ideology and imagery and dialogue, you know, and retweeting, you know, far right. I mean, it's a very dangerous situation that we're living in. And now I will say that an even more disturbing trend I'm seeing is people talking about holding a black vote hostage in the last minutes. And oftentimes these are people talking about holding a black vote hostage at a time when we can least afford to play around with it. We already see we have a very clearly defined enemy in the White House, and I know a lot of people are, you know, who are progressive are going to say they don't want to vote, but not voting is voting in 2020, and it does matter, especially matters on a local level. And you're going to have people who are going to bark about it because it's kind of in vogue being ultra, you know, when you're an ultra left leaning progressive, to say that the system is going to fail us again and to be defeatist in nature. You know, and when you have somebody like Boyce Watkins or Ice Cube or somebody saying that we're going to hold the vote high, these are people who are rich. You know, it's actually a selfish notion for multimillionaires to talk about withholding a vote when they're not going to be impacted one way or another by who's in office. Hmm. But people who really are struggling out there and who are on general assistance or who need, you know, PPE loans and all these other things, you know, these are the people that are definitively impacted by what the government does, by what state, local, and federal governments do. And so, yes, absolutely, voting matters. And if it didn't matter, they wouldn't be trying to keep us from voting.
Real
and it's very revolutionary to employ everything at our disposal to be able to get what we need to get. and voting does not cost a dime. So let's get it cracking.
No, I hear you on that. You know, Paris, if there's a record off this album, which one do you, what are you feeling right now? Or do you even feel it like that?
Bro, I'm glad to have it in the rear view. Honestly, it's been a long time getting to this point to be able to get this going. This has been the most difficult record that I've had to deal with, just because I've had to navigate this new landscape.
Right.
And, and if you ask me to like quote something off the head about it, I couldn't even do it, just because right. I've been so mired in the business of the setup that, you know, the art has kind of taken a back seat.
I was feeling, go ahead, pardon me,
I like the whole record, just because it's a short record, you know. Like my, like Pistol Politics was a double album set. That was my last record. It was 26 tracks. It was almost bloated, right? This is 10 songs, and I kind of get in there and get it and bounce, you know, and I said everything that I have to say.
P-Dog, appreciate you coming on this afternoon. How do you think things are going to turn out? Are we prepared for this or what?
I don't think we are. I think it's going to be quite turbulent, if you want to know the truth. I think whatever happens in November, I think there's going to be a fallout. I think there's going to be a delayed reaction. I think there's going to be a contesting of the vote. I think we are as close to having a second civil war as we've ever been. I do think the vitriol is that strong right now, and I do think that people need to be prepared for any eventuality. And this COVID thing ain't going away no time soon. And as the boot of economic hardship continues to step on people's necks and apply more and more and more pressure, I think that things are going to break down. That's the vibe that I'm getting, you know. Short of regime change and an actual vaccine, I think we're on the road to hell. Straight up. So I wish everybody the best, and I appreciate you giving me a voice, brother, and I'm here.
No doubt. Paris, good luck with everything. It's Hard Knock Radio.
You are listening to KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM on your Portland dial, KBOO.FM on your everywhere on earth internet dial. Stay safe, stay sane, stay tuned. KBOO, the best in community radio. I'm
listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
Hello, I'm Dr. Jane from the Blues Junction. Tune in to KBOO for the Waterfront Blues 2020 High